I want to bring you back to Genesis 46, and in particular, some of these words which the Lord said to Jacob. Verse 3 really will be our starting point, and it says, "And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt." I have chosen this tonight because of the issues that face many of God's people as we launch into a new year. We have crossed this threshold so many times in previous year ends. And without fail, each year brings enormous changes and enormous challenges. So much so that by the time we get to the end of that year, we have no real desire to go back and relive it all over again. I have even asked the elderly and asked, "Would you live your life all over again?" And they usually reply, "No, once is enough. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." There are times, though, when we are driven into situations that we have not wished for, and yet they are thrust upon us so forcibly that we cannot but step up to the need. Jacob must have felt like this on this occasion. He was pleaded with to go down to Egypt, and there were many things pulling at the strings of his heart. He was an older man by now. His eyes were dim. He had been bitterly disappointed over and over, especially the issue of Joseph, and then Judah, and then Benjamin. And now he himself is pleaded with and persuaded to go down to Egypt, the place that had been the disaster country of his own father and grandfather, where they had been brought into awful temptation and failed the test. Now we find that Jacob said, "I will go." And he made his journey. And he went as far as Beersheba, a considerable distance to the south on his way to Egypt. And it was there, while the wagons were rolled in for the night, and he was asleep, that he had a panic attack, that he was filled with fear. You could say he took cold feet. And it was here that he wondered if he was doing the right thing. He wondered how this would turn out. Perhaps there are Jacobs here tonight. You have set out on a course, and you wonder how it will end. And you set your sail in life, you've gone part of the way, but perhaps you're having cold feet. Certainty has dimmed into questions. That's where Jacob was at on this night. Now, changes in life are always unsettling to human nature. I don't think there's anyone that enjoys change. But changes come. And we will find ourselves, like Jacob, here at Beersheba, at times full of faith. Well, we should do tonight what Jacob did. It was at Beersheba that he offered sacrifices and pleaded with God. In the verse 1, it tells us that Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. In this hour of challenge, in this time of uncertainty, in this period of questioning, what did he do? He worshipped and pleaded with God. Perhaps there's a few things we can itemize in this offering sacrifices. He would have pleaded forgiveness for past sins. Jacob and his own family were stained many times with sin and wrongdoing. And now as he launches out in this new venture, he would want to leave the past behind. What does he do? He offers sacrifices to God. What can we do? We can plead the great sacrifice of Calvary and the blood of the Lord Jesus. Yes, we can step from one year into the new, knowing that it is well with our souls, that we are clean from the past, that we are free from any debts or guilt or those things that may hinder our fellowship with God. We can lift up our great sacrifice unto the Lord. Now, there was something else that he may have done, and that was to give thanks to God for the great blessing that he was soon to see his Joseph. Oh, that was the heartstring pull. And that perhaps was the very thing that would have tormented him. Did the lure of seeing Joseph cause him to go down to Egypt? Would that desire of seeing Joseph cause him to step out of God's will and go the wrong direction? But here he offers sacrifices, and he lifts up his voice of praise and thanks that now that God is meeting with him, God is directing him, that he will see his Joseph. Another reason for offering this sacrifice would have been guidance for the way. Guidance for the way. And how important it is for us, as we would launch into the future, to stop here at Beersheba, to offer our sacrifice, and to plead with God for guidance. Plead for grace and wisdom, and that he would lead us along the way. Have you done so? Have you stopped at the end of this year, and have you asked the Lord to be your guide? You will note that it was when he had done so, and when he had ceased from his act of worship, laid down to rest, that God visited Jacob in the night. And the Lord always visits his people that worship him. He'll never disappoint. He'll never fail. He will come through to answer the cries of your heart. The best thing we find here is the love of God to Jacob. God met with him and spoke to him, and he addressed his fears. He said to him, "Fear not to go down into Egypt." So our subject is God's answer to our fears of the future. God's answer to our fears of the future. You'll see in this experience of Jacob that fears are met by a timely word from the Lord. Just to know God was in this. Up until now, he had been guided by his sons. Some of them had been treacherous enough in the past. They had lied and cheated in the past. And here was Joseph on their report, making this decision to go down into Egypt. The wagons had come from Pharaoh. But could that be relied upon? What Jacob needed was a word from the Lord. And here he got it. in this night season, and by this vision of the Lord, while he was sleeping by the wagons, the Lord came with just the word that he needed. That is like our God. He comes in the hour of our need, after perhaps considerable silence. And when we are at the very verge of a great decision, that word comes. You'll notice this word that came, that it was a word from the unchanging God. He said to him, I am God, the God of thy father. That would be Isaac. And God, who had made covenant promises to Isaac, would be the same God to Jacob. He is unchanging. And when Jacob was in the midst of great changes in his life, God revealed himself as the God of his father, the same unchanging God. Now, there's no idolatry here, and there's no room for changing gods here, because Jacob is going down into a heathen nation. He's going down amongst an idolatrous people. And here it is spelled out who Jacob's God is, the God of his father. Let this be the solid rock of your life. Don't look at yourself. Don't look at the changing things around you. But lift your eyes to the God who changes never, whose word is unfailing, and whose grace will be your portion. It was also a word from a long-suffering God. If you look at the text, you'll notice in verse 2 that God spoke unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. Double quote of his name. Now you'll notice that the scripture begins using the name Israel. And God spake unto Israel in the night, in the visions of the night. But then he changed his name from Israel to Jacob and said it twice. Jacob, Jacob. Jacob is the name of his weakness, the name of his flesh. You remember the night that he wrestled with God, and God gave him the name Israel, Prince with God. But Jacob is the name of his old nature, his human nature, and his weakness. And here in this hour when he is having a panic attack, full of fears, God comes down to him at the point of his weakness, and he says to him, Jacob, Jacob. Here is our long-suffering God coming at the very point of our need to sympathize. I understand. I read your heart. I know your need. And he speaks to him in a loving, long-suffering tone. Now, unlike God, we have moods that float on the tides of change. We are like that boat that is tied with a long rope to the harbor. And as that boat is in the water and subject to all the rises and falls of the waves and the tide, here we are tonight. We need an anchor. Jacob had been a failure in the past. He had made many, many mistakes. He had done the wrong thing. He had said the wrong thing. He had let people down. And God comes to him in his weakness. And he says, Jacob, Jacob. And as you think of the future tonight, it's a good thing to know that God is long-suffering with us. He treats us not according to our merit or our deserts, but even our failures, God can package them all up and turn them around to magnify His grace. And if you feel your weakness tonight, and you feel you have failed, do not despair. The God we serve picks us up and makes us to triumph, to show forth His power in the midst. No story in the Bible excels greater than the life of Jacob. You'll notice too that it was a word from Jacob's providential dealing. How he said to him, "I am the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt." God's providential dealing. You remember what we learned from Dr. Panosian in the Latin word video? Comes from provide. We get the word provide from that Latin word. And just as you take a video of a scene, an event, God in His all-seeing, omniscient eye, all-knowing of future events, He provideos, provides, works in providence. He sees the issue. Jacob was to go down into Egypt. And the whole event was wrapped up in that providential story of Joseph. How he had been sold and betrayed by his brothers down into that heathen place as a slave, in the house of Potiphar, in Jeol, and then raised to second in command of Pharaoh over the whole nation. And God was working in providence to spare the nation, to save Israel from destruction and ruin. And now, the hour of reunion was soon to come. And although Jacob's heart beat with excitement about seeing Joseph again, it had been many years, he was fearful if he had been lured by that human response. And God came and spoke to him and said, "Fear not to go down into Egypt." Here is a timely word for Jacob. And God comes to us with timely words in the hour we need them. And if you're fearful of the future, you're wondering how God is going to lead and guide, remember, He works by providence. He sees the end from the beginning. He has decreed not only the first causes, but the secondary causes. And He controls in every aspect of our lives. Secondly, fears are met by not only a timely word, but a triumphant word from the Lord. God's purpose in Jacob's descending into Egypt, if you'll notice, get back to our text now. I want you to get this out of the Bible. I want you to get it here in verse 3. God's purpose was not just a little petty family scheme. He said to him, "For I will there make of thee a great nation." This was about Israel, a nation. God was here organizing the future of His people. And in taking Jacob down, sparing the life, his life and his sons' lives, preserving them through the years of famine, we find that God was now working for that greater purpose. And it's a wonderful thing to know tonight as a Christian, that God is working by a purpose. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good, according to His purpose, to them that are the called of God. Every service for the Master has to be marked with a purpose of striving for that greater good. Do you have that tonight? Do you have that in your life? The Christian's life is not a petty scheme. It's not all about me. It's not all about my comfort. It's not all about my existence. It's about God's great purpose. And what is this? It's the purpose of building His church, saving His people, making out of Israel a great nation. Now in this, there was also, in the triumph of this, there was a promise of protection. And He said, verse 4, I will go down with thee into Egypt. Jacob now could be done with his fears. He could be done with any notion that he was out of the will of God, because God was saying, I will go down with you. That must have greatly encouraged Jacob's heart. God's presence would mean protection. He would take care of Pharaoh. He would take care of every issue ahead of him, and he would be provided for in every way. And as you know the story, under that Pharaoh, there was great acceptance and tolerance. The land of Goshen was given to the Israelites because they were shepherds, and to Egyptians, shepherds were an abomination, despised. But they were given Goshen, their own place to live, to worship, to serve God. And this was God's marvelous presence with him. Now, as Christians and as believers in the Lord Jesus and followers of the Lord Jesus, we have His promise. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And lo, I am with you always. I can write Cloverdale into that. I can write Greater Vancouver into that. I am with you always. Now the Lord walks in the midst of His candlestick, His church. He comes in the person of His Holy Spirit. He has promised never to leave us comfortless or as orphans, but to give us His Spirit at all times to abide with His people. Now we may feel tonight, as we step into a new year, I don't know how I may face the temptation. Egypt to us is the world. It's a place of terrible temptation. And every child of God has to be concerned about the future of the Lord's church, the testimony of the Lord's great name. Apostasy, compromise, Satan goes around free range, seemingly. The Lord says, I will be with thee. I will go down with you. And as we seek to be light and salt on the earth, we can plead that promise in the midst of temptation. And while we are in the world, we're not of it. But we are to serve in it. The Lord does not give a Christian an escape route out of the world. We are left to be His witnesses, sometimes to face difficult things. But then we come to that family reunion. You'll notice in verse 4 how the Lord put it. He would not only take them down into Egypt, but He would bring them up again. Bring them up. There's a future here. There's great blessing here. And then the family reunion. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. To have this word from the Lord must have been heart-stirring for Jacob. This was no longer his own selfish desire. This was now a God-given gift. You're going to see Joseph. Joseph's going to be your comfort. That Joseph that you gave the coat of many colors, your special child, his heart yearned to see him, to hear his voice, to receive his touch. That meant a lot to Jacob, that family reunion. As Christians tonight, we have a great, happy reunion one day. We're going to see our family in Christ in glory. Every believer is going to be there. This week I was going through a whole filing cabinet of old stuff. I'll not even begin to tell you what was all in it. Old magazines, papers, paper clippings. And I had a file on old photographs. And I came across of a picture of my father. Didn't remember having this particular photograph. And there it was. He was 45 years old at the time. I wish I could say tonight that there's going to be a reunion with him. But I cannot say that he was a Christian. I thank God in mercy that since then my mother has professed faith in the Lord. The Lord has saved me. And just more recently saved my brother-in-law. He and my sister and their family now attend the church where I was first heard the gospel and converted. And for every believer, there's going to be a great day of reunion. This is guaranteed by the resurrection truth of the gospel. This is the triumph of the victory of our Lord Jesus. He that has triumphed over death, over the grave. O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? Thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory. And there's going to be a reunion for believers. You're here tonight and you're not saved. There's only one way that you'll get to heaven. There's only one way you'll see the saints in glory and see the Lord Himself, and that is to be truly saved. As I look at that picture of my father, I wish I could say that I will see him again in glory. Will we see you? Are you saved tonight? It's not too late for you. You can enter into that great reunion. So we come back to the story of Jacob here. We see also that fears are met by the truth of the word that God gives. So it was a timely word. It was a triumphant word. But best of all, it was a true word. All that the Lord promised to Jacob was fulfilled. Joseph, Goshen, redemption 400 years later, that promise, I will bring thee up again. 400 years later, while Jacob's bones lay in the dust of the grave, God's word to him was still fulfilled. What a thought that God honors His word to dead saints. We are feeble, we faint, we perish, but God's word faileth never. All came to pass. What does this do for you at the close of this year? You can be sure tonight that nothing of your labors in the year by will have gone lost. Nothing. every prayer you've offered, every promise that you've clung to, every word of this book that you've put into your life. All spiritual work is eternal work. We're not building on an earthly foundation of wood, hay, or stubble that will be burned up in the fullness of time. But we're building for eternity. That's the marvelous thing about being a Christian. And all that we have spent in the Lord's work, in the Lord's presence, amongst the Lord's people to promote His gospel, God will honor. Every word of this book is true. We also stand on the threshold of a new year with confidence that the word of the Lord can be depended on. His promises are sure and certain. And we can be sure that all the blessings of the Lord will be our portion as we seek and serve Him. A few months ago, there was a special dinner in our Toronto church for Dr. McClellan's retirement. We were called upon to prepare a plaque from our presbytery to mark and recognize the years of service that he had given, especially in Canada and North America. We thought about a text, and I remember going through many verses, many searches, key words, this and that. And then suddenly just something clicked. And here is the verse that was put on that plaque. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he hath promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. And you just think, coming to a new country 31 years ago where there was not another Free Presbyterian church, first ever outside of a little tiny country called Northern Ireland, it was a leap of faith, believing God's word. And God has given the increase, and God has blessed. We can raise our Ebenezer tonight and say that not one word of all that he hath promised has failed. That's our testimony, and that's our confidence as we plow on, seeking to plow that straight furrow for God. This has been a short message tonight, but I trust that you will read over, pray over these great words of the Lord to Jacob. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee. Please take that to heart tonight.